This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening, especially to our new listeners in Washington, D.C. on WAMU, WFAE in Charlotte, North Carolina, listeners in Cincinnati and St. Louis, and on KUAR in Little Rock, Arkansas. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We begin this hour in Egypt, where the situation is quickly intensifying after President Mohamed Morsi rejected an army ultimatum to find a resolution to the protests. People are now tensely awaiting a statement by the army. A ban on international travel has been placed on Mr. Morsi and other Muslim Brotherhood members by security forces, and a senior aide to the president, Assam al-Haddad, has accused the military of staging a coup. Joining us on the ground in Cairo is David Kirkpatrick, Cairo bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. David Kirkpatrick, as we just heard, aides to Mohamed Morsi are accusing the military of staging a coup. Can we confirm that? What's the latest?
Well, it sure does feel like a coup. The army has moved around. It's on the move around Cairo. They've surrounded the presidential palace. They're surrounding the rallies where Islamists have gathered to support the president. They've put Mr. Morsi and several top leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood on a travel ban. State television is beginning to prepare the way for a full coup, with experts and former generals talking about quote-unquote popular legitimacy as opposed to constitutional legitimacy. And they've even mentioned some sort of questionable legal cases that might be used as a pretext for sending Mr. Morsi back to jail. So I'd say it feels quite a bit like a military coup.
And what are we headed towards here? Do we know, is this going to be the sort of military caretaker tribunal that drafts a new constitution? Do people have a sense of where this is going?
Well, there's two things we know right now. One is that the Islamists are not going to go quietly. They've said, look, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of our people are out in the squares, and you're going to have to remove them by force if you think you can overthrow the elected government as easy as that. The other thing we know is that the situation we had before with a written constitution affirmed by the people, an elected government, was a little bit of a sham. It turns out the military was always lurking in the background and always reserved to itself enough autonomy and enough power to remove the elected president. And after they've done that in 2011 and again in 2013, it's going to be a long time before any civilian government has the credibility to say, look, we're really in charge here. This really is a democratic civilian government. So there's no way, whatever happens tonight, there's no way that you can sort of revive the hopes for the full flourishing of an honest-to-God civilian democracy here at this point.
And at the same time, David Kirkpatrick, you know, television viewers, at least here in the United States, when you see the images of Tahrir Square and other places, have a pretty good sense of popular support for getting Morsi out just by the pictures of the big crowds. They don't show the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood got a lot of votes and that Morsi has a lot of support. They're not included in the pictures that we're seeing. Is it really such a nation divided, even though we don't see it?
Yeah, here in Egypt, it's a split screen. And I got to say, tonight, it is bizarre. I just left the Islamist gathering, and it is not grim resignation. It is celebration. They're dancing in the streets. They're chanting Morsi's name. They're partying like they're on the brink of a great victory and not going to go anywhere. So, you know, both sides have got a lot of support. You know, I don't mean to say that Mr. Morsi or his government have done nothing wrong. He's clearly been stubborn. He's clearly failed to build a lot of popular credibility to reach out enough to the opposition. At the same time, it's awkward for somebody who's grown up in a Western democracy to say, well, his approval ratings are really low. Let's call the Joint Chiefs of Staff and kick him out of office.
Yeah, and one might also expect among some people a sense of resignation, and maybe there isn't. There doesn't seem to be that popular protests in the squares, two sides divided, an overthrow, and really they're right back where they were a year and a half ago. Amid all the jubilation, is there any sense that they're maybe kind of treading water here?
Yeah, I'd say treading water or worse. You know, in many ways, it was the generals when they were running Egypt a year ago that got Egypt into its current economic pickle. And that's, you know, it's those economic problems that are really getting under people's skin. And now here they are, you know, bringing back the same guys who got them into this situation. But I try to find some way, you know, some people who can look on a bright side. And what they say is, look, Egypt has just proved itself to have the most popular street in the world. They've kicked out the military. Now they've kicked out the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, what the people have demonstrated is that whoever runs Egypt better be responsive to the public will. And that's the best we can hope for here. Is the takeaway to the next ruler of Egypt is, I better include all the people. I better respect all the people.
A real populist kind of imperative there. And I wonder, David Kirkpatrick, in the short term, what the feeling is. You mentioned Islamists in some squares, the secularists in other squares. Of course, we're only seeing pictures of one of those here. Is there any danger of clashes or popular violence in the short term?
Oh, I'd say there's a certainty of clashes and popular violence in the short term. I think, you know, 16 or 18 people were killed in fighting near Cairo University last night, most of them with gunshots. Hundreds were wounded. The night is still young. I think it's a safe bet that someplace in Cairo, supporters and opponents of President Morsi will find an opportunity to start killing each other again.
Well, we've heard about the movement of tanks and army throughout the city. What about police? To whom do they owe allegiance, and are they going to be able to do anything to keep the sides separated?
They have done nothing so far to keep the sides separated. In fact, there are quite a few reports that last night, before the night was done, they too were shooting at the Islamists. The police have been more or less open revolt against the new government of President Morsi. Their institution was left largely intact from Hosni Mubarak, and they don't have any great love for this government. They're quite pleased with the coup. They've sort of announced a new rapprochement between themselves and the Egyptian people, joining the people and rising up against President Morsi, and they issued a statement today from the Interior Ministry cheering on the Defense Ministry for its coup. So you really see the fragmentation of the Egyptian government, with different ministries announcing their own political positions, and also the way that the institutions of the old regime are actually rallying against President Morsi.
And is there any question before we let you go, David Kirkpatrick, is there any sense of who that next person is? Ostensibly a secularist, the person who's going to know that they have to respond to the most populous street in the Middle East. Is it Mohammed al-Baradei? Who's the next person?
I don't think it's Mohammed al-Baradei. The guy doesn't have that much popular support. I tell you, that is one heck of a help wanted ad. You know, the next leader of Egypt is going to have bring the Islamists back into the fold while at the same time responding to the more secular concern and address an economic conundrum that bedeviled both the generals and the Brotherhood, a problem that's getting only more urgent every day.
That is one heck of a help wanted ad. Who will be the next person to lead Egypt through this turmoil? We don't know how the next 24 hours will turn out. David Kirkpatrick, Cairo Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, thank you for the update.
Talk to you soon.
And earlier today, we spoke with Dalia Ziada, Egyptian blogger and activist based in Cairo, who said the events of today are reminiscent of Hosni Mubarak's final days in office.
I'm here right now with my family. The whole family is gathering to celebrate, and I think this is happening in almost in every house in Egypt. Tahrir Square is celebrating. Other squares in other cities are celebrating. Although, in fact, we did not get yet a clear statement from the military that they removed Morsi. But according to what we are seeing, it reminds us very much with the last minutes of Mubarak time before it was announced that he's removed. And we are expecting this would happen with Morsi sooner or later. Our demand is met and our voice heard.
Your demands are met, Dalia Ziada. On the other hand, there must be some apprehension. Mohamed Morsi does say in his speeches, and he has a point, he was elected in a democratic election, and here 1 year later, Egypt is pretty much back where it started not long ago.
Actually, Mohamed Morsi was elected a year ago in what we call an illiberal democratic election. And I would like to quote Mr. Obama here when he said in the statement that was released from the White House 2 days ago, based on a conversation that happened between Morsi and Obama, he said very clearly that democracy is not only elections. And I'm repeating this, democracy is not only elections, it's more than that. When Mohamed Morsi was elected, he was elected in a context that lacked everything, that lacked a constitution, that lacked institutions. We had no parliament. So it allowed him to abuse his power, to work only for the interests of his own group. And given the fact that we are bringing him in power after a revolution, people thought that they should stop him at his limits before it's too late. So we launched a campaign that is a petition signing campaign calling for his removal. And when we called for protests on his anniversary, we had huge response from people calling for him to resign and leave.
So going forward now, I wonder what you expect, Dalia Ziada. Of course, there are many people in the street, hundreds of thousands, as you said, millions of people probably agree with you. On the other hand, it is a nation divided. Mohamed Morsi is part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and they do have deep support in Egypt. It seems to me that it's unclear where to go from here.
Actually, given the history of the Muslim Brotherhood group as a violent group, I believe that sooner or later they will try to respond with violence. But I think the fact of having the military now in charge will somehow limit the outcome of this expected violence. But at the same time, of course, there is some concern that the military coming in power again may not be a good idea. And again, they are going to lead the country. It may somehow raise a flag for some people who are worried about having a coup in Egypt or having so much confusion similar to what we had in the period that followed the fall of Mubarak a year and a half ago. But actually, we have learned our lesson. And our role now as revolutionaries and young people is just to keep our eyes open and to stay alert and make sure that the people who will run the transitional period, the interim government that will be facilitating our lives during this period should be civilians. And the military should only play the role of protecting the national security and somehow making sure that whenever there is any kind of disagreement, there will not be violence and it will be always nonviolent.
And if Mohamed Morsi doesn't leave, what then?
I don't think he's now having the option not to leave because all state institutions are on our side and his virtual stay in power would do any difference.
Dalia Ziada, Egyptian blogger and activist, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, here is a recent Facebook posting from senior Mohamed Morsi aide Essam al-Haddad. It reads as follows. As I write these lines, I am fully aware that these may be the last lines I get to post on this page. For the sake of Egypt and for historical accuracy, let's call what is happening by its real name, military coup. We want your thoughts on this. As with anything you hear on the show, you can call us at 8778-MYTAKE. You can post to the website at thetakeaway.org. And of course, you can always tweet us at thetakeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.